breakdown you didn't know you wanted coming up in just moments. First, you win a pair of tickets to the 27th annual Taste of the Browns on September 15th at Huntington Bank Field to benefit the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. Just enter the word sports. That's what we talk about them here. Sports. S-P-O-R-T-S. Sports. By the end of this hour at 92.3thefan.com to get registered to win. Get tickets at greaterclevelandfoodbank.org. It's all from Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Sports. S-P-O-R-T-S. Sports. That is the word. You go ahead and you do it. And you get to go to the Taste of the Browns. 27th annual. Taste of the Browns. Sports. Go ahead and do it. A breakdown that we don't know if you really want. We're getting ready for the season, and Lima looked at the ticket situation right now. Plenty of good seats available.
I just can't remember you being able to just get tickets from the Browns week of an opener.
I think you could.
No?
I think you could.
No, I used to. I mean, I literally used to run an event for the opener, and those tickets were impossible to get. You had to get them second party, and they would be like double. Now you can get them. It's still, people are saying they're still expensive. Well, it's a sporting event in 2025.
You know they're the second cheapest.
I know. I do know that.
Going into this year, Daryl posted that. We're the second cheapest experience.
And that's so even after
it's not even that much.
That's even after they went up. They went up after last season. 3-14, they raised them.
Do they want us to break down the Bengals? Because there seems to be a lot more interest in what happened over the weekend. And frankly, let's be honest, the third quarterback on this football team than there is about actually beating the Bengals.
Well, this game, what's interesting about this game is that we are the second biggest home dogs this week. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, I think they're getting 6.5 in their game. We're getting 5.5. So, I mean, that is a huge spread. That's a huge deficit at home. Ironically, it's a team that we seem to not have all that much trouble against, even in our down years.
Yes, and let me be abundantly clear. This isn't your fault, guys. This is not your. I'm not blaming fans for the lack of interest about a game. You know, I can try to create interest for the game. I can try to do it. We can play the Michael Stanley. I can get excited. I can tell you. I can give all the rah-rah speeches you can. I'm good at it. I can get people excited about some stuff. I'm an excitable boy. But if I don't feel it, then it's going to be hard to get it over. And I think a lot of fans don't necessarily feel it right now. I think that this season, please prove me wrong. 216-474-0092. I think it's week one. The Bengals always start out slow. Yep. I know that they're tired of hearing about starting out slow. T. Higgins was ripping guys in the media for talking about them starting out slow, even though they do. Jamar Chase was upset about it. It's like, hey, man, you guys were supposed to be a playoff team last year. Joe Burrow was relatively healthy the entire year last year. You finished 9-8. You get out to these slow starts. You fired Lou Anarumo. You can't sit there and blame him anymore, even though everybody thinks your defense still isn't good. That's even with Trey Hendrickson, which you dragged that out the entire offseason as well. You and I bickered about whether or not Joe Burrow, if Joe Burrow has any right to complain about anything. I go, well, they've signed his two wide receivers. Usually they just make franchise guys have one premier wide receiver on your football team. Because T. Higgins, I don't know if he could be a number one for a great football team, but he could be a number one in the NFL.
He's like a Jerry Jeudy, right?
Yeah, he could be a number one for a football team. So I don't want to hear any more of that. And I could give you all the reasons why, I think the Browns absolutely have a shot against Cincinnati on Sunday. And why they shouldn't maybe be a five, I don't think they should be favorites, but why they shouldn't be a 5.5-point underdog. I can give you every reason in the world. Talk about the Bengals' bad offensive line and our good defensive line.
Miles Garrett.
The Bengals' bad defense where they do have Trey Hendrickson and hopefully a running game that's going to be able to eliminate turnovers as best they can, control the clock, win a tight football game, and get a win in week one. And I think a lot of folks out there are going, great, tell me about it on Monday. Or tell me about it Sunday at 4 o'clock after they get the win. Because I think a lot of people, when you watched all throughout the offseason, the constant tug and pull, all the arguments that you and I had over the quarterbacks and the two rookies, it was all, remember, I couched it all. So this is all still on me where I go, hey, you know what? It's August 12th and they're still taking a quarterback in the first round next year. Hey, it's July 23rd. They're still taking a quarterback. Like that never budged. They still had two first round picks and then the owner and the general manager. The coach went down with his family, a different set of circumstances, but I mean, he's a football guy for crying out loud. The owner and the general manager were at the Ohio State game. Now, I know that there's a lot of positions that they're looking at. you're going to cover your bases. And then the owner, did the general manager go to LSU Clemson, or was it just the owner?
I didn't see pictures of him. Remember, all he right. has a twin brother, too. So,
well, the owner was at...
We can't confirm that it was him or not.
That's true.
Fair enough.
Even a DNA test, it'll be tough.
And he works for the Eagles, right?
They'll be very similar.
The owner was at LSU Clemson. Okay, he's a Tennessee yeah. fan. Tennessee, where they taking on Syracuse?
Yeah.
They beat the brakes off Syracuse. Good God almighty. What a day for a Tennessee fan. Nico Amalieva was mm-hmm. running for... He was pressured on 60% I mean, of his dropbacks.
UCLA?
He was pressured on 60% of his dropbacks.
Jeez.
And they got Penn State on the schedule. Holy God.
Got his money.
Oh, my... I think they got Ohio State on the schedule, too, UCLA does. Yeah, at least... Better hope they can't take any of that money back, because, buddy, you're going to be running for your life. Anywho, the guy's a Tennessee fan. He's down at Clemson, LSU. Why is he down at Clemson, LSU? Oh, yeah, the two quarterbacks are playing against each other. So, like, this whole thing, I think for a general, for a Browns fan, not even just a general, for Browns fans feels like it's all a formality until we get to next year. It's all a formality.
No, it doesn't. That doesn't mean that it's not exciting to watch the rookies. We've got exciting rookies. Well, this could be.
They can be exciting, but they got to prove it to them. Because I think that everybody feels that this is just a generalization of what the season's going to be until you get a quarterback in the first round next year. And then I think a lot of fans are going, okay, now I'll take you seriously. Because the whole thing does feel like, hey, I kept the coach after a 3-14 year. Why do we keep a coach after a 3-14 year? Well, either A, I can think really that highly of him, and I can think that highly of Andrew Berry, or B, I could say, well, they did just sign him to extensions before last year, if I'm not mistaken. So you still got at least probably 3 more years left to go on that extension. So maybe we're just going to pay off the freight for 1 more year, and then we'll have a new coach and a new rookie QB and everything, and a new general manager, and everything will go on from there. Because that's what a lot of college football teams do. They take a look at the schedule, and they go, yeah, we're going to go ahead, and we're going to give Billy another year. Yeah, we're going to go ahead, and we're going to give this guy another year. Like, that's what they do. And I think a lot of Browns fans feel that way. And if they're not going to look at this season in terms of going out and being successful, then they're not going to do it. Plus, I mean, good God, how long does the conversation around the Browns take before it gets back to, hey, you know who I saw working out again on Instagram? Mm-hmm. And that one will really take him away from the season.
As a Browns fan, where would you rather see Andrew Berry? On a college sideline on a Saturday or at the Browns game on Sunday? If he could only be in one place on a weekend.
Well, yeah, and you feel like if he's out scouting, he's doing more than just watching with binoculars right. from up top. He's talking to people around the program.
Well, seeing how they interact on the sidelines. Yeah.
I'm glad you
like
asked that question. I'm glad you asked that question because I could say, hey, if they were coming off of 14-3, you're out there just doing your job. And he is. He's just doing his job. You have an opportunity to go to these college games, go to the college games, go meet with coaches. You'll go be seen. Go meet with agents. Agents are at the games now. Go meet with all these people. Do what you got to do. That's part of your job. But I think a lot of people see that and they interpret it as, man, are we really getting excited for this year? I could say, hey, he's doing his job. You got to go to college football games. It's on a Saturday. Go to a college football game. I don't care about your sleep. Sleep on the plane. Go. And that is part of his job. If I'm being deadly serious and not trying to be overly dramatic about it, but I think for a lot of fans... Hey, man, I got a bunch of arguments going on right now about Drew Aller and Fernando Mendoza and all these other quarterbacks right now, and I'm not getting anything about the Bengals other than, yeah, I hope we win.
Now, let's be honest. If they just win one game, it's so funny how this works. If they just win on Sunday...
Against Cincinnati, then we're back.
Then the whole conversation
we're
changes.
Back. But they're going to hold the Browns... The fans are going to hold the Browns accountable. When you have this type of season you had last year... I'm not blaming fans at all. This is anything but blaming fans for any of this. If anything, you're holding them more accountable and you're holding their feet to the fire going, you will get my emotions when I can trust them. Until then, I'm going to focus on the future. There's a couple people who disagree with that. God bless you. But I think the vast majority of Browns fans are going, hey, I hope you win, but I want something more tangible. I want something more realistic. I want one of these guys who played on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. That's what I want. And I don't blame a Browns fan at all for feeling that way. So, yeah, this Cincinnati game, it kind of gets overshadowed, at least on Tuesday. As we get closer to Cincinnati, like, guys, they play Grambling at 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of an Ohio State breakdown is going to go on. But, damn, Sunday by Sunday, yeah, well, it'll be broke down more. But you can't help but feel some sort of way going, hey, they got a 40-year-old quarterback starting out the season. We don't believe that guy's going to be playing for very long. So there will be eventually Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. We can start those fights over all over we want, but it's going to be some time. Unless they go out and win, I think it's going to be more of the same. If they go out there and they lose the way they did against Dallas, the only anger you're going to hear is about keeping Kevin, keeping Andrew, and why the hell are we rolling a 40-year-old out there when we might as well just take a look at the pups?
That's right. We didn't have much of a post-game show last year after the loss to Dallas.
We just sat there in disbelief that they could get rolled like that as the season started. And the only thing that was playing in our heads was the Jim Schwartz quotes at the end of the preseason going, man, these guys think this is going to be easy. And they did. And they got hammered. Embarrassed, even, in week one against the Cowboys, who aren't the world's most competitive football team. So there is a lot more on this than what we think. But in terms of breaking it down in excitement for winning, please tell me I'm wrong. I want you to tell me I'm wrong. But I think the general excitement for winning for the fan is that, hey, I hope we win. But if they don't win, hey, I got a real good look at Garrett Nussmeier. And Garrett Nussmeier looked real good with 80-something thousand people at Death Valley screaming in his face. And they were able to fight off everybody and win that football game. And I might take a look at him. And that might be what Gary and Rocky Rivers thinking. And then there's a Barry in Richmond Heights. And Barry's sitting there going, you know, I really like, I know people are ripping on Clay Kubiak, but let me tell you that, like, that's where they're at with it right now. Up until the pups get to play. Because they need the season to stand for something. If it's not about winning, and a lot of folks think that they're not going to the playoffs, then it has to stand for something, or what else are we doing here? We're just wasting our time. And fans of anything, hey, money's money. Money comes, it goes. Your most important currency is your time, and your emotions invested in your time. And if you don't think that your favorite football team, while you love your favorite football team, and rightfully so, yes, while your favorite football team, if you don't believe they're going to win, you're going to invest your emotions in the future of your favorite football team, not the now. Because there's plenty of guys out there that are listening to this. They could take or leave Kevin. They could take or leave Andrew. To hell with it. They don't really care. Next year would be a different story for them. 216-474-0092. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me I'm right or wrong about that. It's okay. It's okay to get ready for a week one game and go, you know what? They got to prove it to me, Kenny. They got to prove it to me, Tone. At first, I thought it might be real because I'm like, man, how would it be? I didn't realize it was Photoshop because I'm like, man, how could that be something like that be taken any other way? So they showed Ryan Day. This was post-game. This post-game photo, right? Or was this pre or post for Ryan Day?
Was it? You know what? I'm not even sure.
It looked like, either way, it looked like his left nipple was pierced.
It did.
It looked like he had a barbell in. Now, you and I have seen barbells on TV before.
Yes.
It have been, oh, my goodness gracious, what are we seeing up there?
It's becoming more and more notable. It seems like people are a little more brazen in going with that kind of accessory.
I got to be honest with you guys. When it comes to a lady, it's always been something that's been very intriguing to me. In a previous life, it was very exciting to...
Yeah, if somebody
have the possibility of that.
If somebody goes to a, let's say, Piercing Pagoda or a Claire's Boutique, and they go out and get an accessory to accompany that, I think you'll want to see it. It's pretty standard.
I knew a guy who tried to give himself a Prince Albert once. It was crazy.
Oh.
Like, you gotta rethink this, buddy. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you thinking? Oh no, he was gonna do it. If Ryan Day, because the thought came out going, did Ryan Day get it because they won the national championship? And I'm going, if Ryan Day actually got his nipple pierced because they won a national championship, that is a level of football guy to me that speaks to me that I go, you know what? I've got it. I've been a guy who's questioned Ryan Day in the past, just like everybody else has. That is a man who is committed to his players, as you're going to find. That's a man I'd follow into hell. That's a man who I'd want in the foxhole with me. If you're willing to do things like that after your team wins to give them something to shoot for, you're willing to do, like when Rick Pitino got the tattoo on his back.
Yeah, Harbaugh got a tattoo also. Jim Harbaugh.
That's football guy stuff, man. That's what I want. That's what I want out of my. That has to happen. I'm telling you right now.
I think Connor Stallions also got a tattoo after that.
Did he really?
Yeah. It had like three different formations on it.
It had all the plays. It had all the plays.
You guys are
going to
sit there and just make jokes about it.
Sorry, we're picking on your guy.
I like he's not my guy. But I'll tell you what, if I found out that Ryan Day really got his pierced because they won the national championship. All the Scarlet and Gray stuff comes back out. All the insufferability of me as an old Ohio State fan, which Lyman never really got to see, where I was the Ohio State fan in Stark County and the Buckeye guy. And I think a lot of it changed just because of the Jim Trussell thing. We've been over that many times. It would all be back out. I would fall Ryan Day into hell. I just love football guys doing football guy things, willing to do that. That's a hell of a move. You have millions of dollars and tons of reasons to remain stoic. You climb in the foxhole. You dig down there in the foxhole with your players. That's a football guy move, and I'm down with it.
Now, he has not had a media availability since the big win over Texas. I wondered if yesterday he would have spoken. But
no, today's the day. Today's the day he would be asked.
So he's going to be asked. I mean, he's 100% going to be asked, right?
Yes. One of the big Buckeye accounts tweeted at me. They go, if who's the guy who always goes on Baskin Phelps? Tim May.
Yeah.
If Tim doesn't ask him, then he's letting us all down.
Yeah, I don't know how much you're going to break down the Grambling game.
Well, I don't know if Tim's going to let me down, but he needs to know. I hope Tim May knows that the entire state is wondering, and somebody has an obligation to ask him about
this. Well, he's the highest paid state employee, right?
Because I'll tell you right now.
He has to be asked. He's the taxpayer money. I want to know where those taxes are going.
If he confirms it, I'm a different person tomorrow morning on this show. If he confirms that is actually pierced and real, and they won the national championship and he got it, and that he's their football guy, like, that's it. That's it. Forget objectivity. It's out the window.
Why does he,
I am Mr. Ohio State
doesn't
fan.
Doesn't it need to be that if to work towards the motivation you are referring to?
I'm back on the message boards.
Doesn't he have to do it for the Michigan game? Because they've already won the national championship now. Like, he's proven he can do that.
Okay. So if he doesn't have it done, and then he gets it done if they beat Michigan, like, what you're saying?
If you're talking about riling guys up and getting them pumped up, say, okay, if we beat Michigan this year on the road,
any guy who's willing,
then I'll go and do it.
To do something to his body to help his players, motivate his players to win, is going to be A-okay in my book, man. Okay? So as a football guy, I'm going to tell you that right now. Should I do that to my players? Should I offer that to my – I'll get a tattoo if you guys win the league this year.
Yeah, I think you should. I mean, you guaranteed a Browns win to a group of kindergartners, and that didn't happen, so.
It's because the teacher got me to do it. I felt bad.
Well, I think you should do this, absolutely. This is not random kindergartners in Sheffield.
Does that teacher?
These are your boys in Streetsboro.
That's true.
You better stand up right now and go get that damn tattoo for them if they win the league.
I don't have any tattoos.
You won't see a bigger Rockets fan than me if you go out and you get that tattoo.
They got to win it, though. Listen, I'll get that tattoo, but you got to go through Manchester. That's always a tough one to do. All right, I know it. But as a football guy to a football guy, that's a hell of a move. And if I find out today that he did, tomorrow it's going to be nothing but Ohio State fight songs. It's going to be Lay Regiment, Hang On Sloopy, Buckeye Battle Cry across the field. I mean, I'm Mr. Ohio State guy from here on out.
It'll be great to have you back, Kenny.
It will be wonderful. I don't think you've missed me at all, but I will be that guy. It's going to be all over. I'm going to get an Archie Griffin jersey. It's going to be great. Can't wait to go out. Maybe I'll get an Art Schleister one just to start the conversation again. And not be ironic or even be funny about it. The olden days. Guys, you guys don't know that, Ken. I wish you guys would have known that, Ken. I wish you would have known that, Ken. The old, old, old me that was Mr. Ohio State.
Can you pinpoint the day when it ended?
It was probably, honestly, around Jim Trussell. It really started in the back of my mind when I sent the stuff in computer class. I sent one to, I'd like some information, I want to attend your university. And I sent one to Ohio State first, mm-hmm. and I sent one to Akron and Kent. And Akron and Kent sent one back immediately. Here you go. Thank you very much. I mean, guys, this is the early 2000s. Sure. And then I sent one to Ohio State, didn't get anything back. And my computer teacher was a former Ohio State cheerleader. Like, she loved Ohio State, Mrs. Dietz, wonderful lady. And Mrs. Dietz like, well, just send another one. And then she told me to send it, and they never sent me anything back, which apparently there's something else you have to do to tell Ohio State. I don't remember what it is, but yeah. I think I went about it the wrong way.
I mean, now you got to get a 4.0 to even be considered.
Well, yeah, but this was a different time, and there was an inquiry about going to Ohio State. They never sent me anything back. And then by the time I got into radio, it was just like, hey, man, you know, I went to Akron. Ohio State ain't putting no money in my pocket. Now they're running my favorite coach out of the state. Like, I didn't like that. And I went, you know what? Like, I don't hate Ohio State. I can't find myself to hate Ohio State. But damn it, I ain't the fan no more. And I've just been a college football observer ever since. I think it's made college football in general more fun for me because I can just sit back and observe everybody. And then there's, as we've gotten older, there's coaches that we've got to meet. So I've had like a special interest in Wyoming before and in Illinois State and James Madison and Indiana State and obviously Iowa State and what we talk about with them over there. And then all the other ones where they've kind of gone on to other places. So, and that's kind of Pitt recently as well. Like, that's kind of fun. It's been fun for me to have that observation there. But I'm going to tell you what, man, that guy got his, if he got his nipple actually pierced, I'm Mr. Ohio State guy again. I will damn them all off, swear them all off, and until they run Ryan Day out of town, because then I will go back, but I'm a Ryan Day guy. Ted. I keep saying I'll tell you that. I just want you guys to know I'll tell you that right now.
I actually believe you.
Ryan Day will bring me back.
Can I say one other thing? As we saw Alabama go down, and we know what a rough season they had last year after Saban, which we all understood. We all understood. Every team has a down year. Every program can have one down year. But I saw people saying things like, because I watched that Miami. I watched every bit of that Miami-Notre Dame game. I was locked in. It was awesome. Awesome atmosphere. Awesome pregame. It's just an awesome weekend in general for college football to not have to share the spotlight, you know, with the NFL. But I saw a lot of people say this, man, college football is just better when Miami is back. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I think that's true. I've heard people say that about Tennessee over the years, USC.
I said that about Tennessee.
A bunch of programs, right? And then it really did dawn on me. We don't ever have to say that about Ohio State.
No, you take them for granted.
Ohio State is really good, pretty much damn near great every year for 25 straight years. There's one year they weren't.
They were six and six.
That was the year that Luke Fickell
and it coached. Didn't really even count.
And it didn't matter. And the next year they went undefeated.
And they were ineligible. You couldn't go to a bowl game, yeah.
But they were undefeated. So even then, nobody cared that they had a bad year. Nobody really cared because they knew they were getting Urban Meyer. Like during the bowl game that year, I think Urban Meyer had already, that all the rumors were flying and everything. And it's like, oh, we're getting Urban Meyer. Okay, this was worth it. So I think about that and I'm like, I'll never have to write that sentence. I will never have to write that tweet out that, man, college football is just better when Ohio State is good, because they're always good.
I think
by the way, college football is always awesome. So is that what we really want to say? College football is always awesome because Ohio State is always awesome.
I really, truly feel you're the only program, and I'm saying this as observer Ken, not Ohio State fan Ken here, okay? You're the only program that's Teflon.
It does seem like that. You've proved it. This is three coaches.
You've had three coaches.
LSU won national championships with three coaches, but they also had down years.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, you haven't had that. You've had, like, yeah, you've lost in a national championship game here and there, but you've had
down things, moments.
You've had moments there that really should hurt the program and hurt the program for a long period of time. The Zach Smith, whatever was ended up being the truth there, what everything happened there with Urban Meyer, like, that should have had a huge hit on the program.
In the old days, that could take down a program for 5 years.
Yes. With Jim Tressel, that should have been something that puts you on the mat for Ohio State status on the mat. That should have put you at 6-6, 7-5, 8-4 for at least a couple years. You had 1 6-6 year, and then that was it. You look at the other programs that are known as great college football programs that just have not been able to do that. Michigan was not able to do that and arguably aren't going to be able to. We'll see how Sharon Moore pans out here. You look at what they gave up for Lincoln Riley, and I'm watching Lincoln Riley against Missouri State on Saturday, and they're running it up just for FPI purposes at the end of that football game on Saturday night. You look at some of the other programs, Alabama. Alabama's been a great program for a long period of time, but guys of a certain age, like these three guys in this room right here, You remember, Mike DeBose, and remember the whole situation with the strippers and everything with the other ones and all that,
Shula?
And Mike Shula and all the other crap that went on down there. Mike Shula's a decent enough offensive mind for crying out loud, but he ain't no head coach Alabama.
But it is incredible, and dare I say, and this is where people will say obnoxious Ohio State. I'm just dealing with facts here. 25 years, can you name me another team in professional sports? Or college, whatever, of big time. We're talking big time because, you know, I know like UNC women's soccer had like a 30-year run. I'm just talking about the sports that we all pay attention to. Is there another team that is as Teflon as we're talking about? And look, I'm not saying they haven't had bad endings of a season or embarrassing blowout national championship. That's not what I'm talking about. Those years were still amazing years for 99.9% of other programs.
I think it's probably the most successful program/organization in major
sports. The Dodgers had down years before this 10-year run that they've had. I'm talking 25 years. Is there another team that can say they've been this damn good for this damn long?
Not in the sports we cover.
In the last 25 years?
25 years, yeah. And it's not just one guy. It's not like, oh, they have the coach or they have the quarterback. Or they have the the Hall of Famer, the future Hall of Famer. Like, Ohio State does this with 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. They do it every year. They've done it with three different coaches. They've done it with how many coordinators? Ohio State is the best program / team in professional or college sports of the last 25 years. Done deal.
I wish there was a way I could fight you with me. I can't.
Anti-Ohio State people, argue with me. Tell me the other team. Tell me.
This is your proof I'm not anti Ohio State because I have no argument for you. I have none. There's no other team that can be this successful for this long a period of time, and it's just commitment to excellence the entire way through. And an Ohio State fan after we talked a little bit about Arch Manning. Like, I saw that performance, I had questions. You know, I know that their offensive line is different in Texas, but you lost Jack Sawyer. That guy was an emotional leader for your football team. And it's hard to get reignited and get back going. And there were a couple things where I told you last week, it's great that they have Texas to start things off, not Grambling, that they have Texas to start things off. It's the first game. You can feel disrespected. Texas is the number one team. You have everything going for you emotionally, and they were able to get that done. And remember, that was a day where Jeremiah Smith had to change his gloves on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You had guys who, I think Julian Sain got taken in a little bit by some guys having drops.
By the way, just a silly thing. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't like that he had to change his gloves. It wasn't the gloves, dude. He just had some drops. It's okay.
But it's probably a mental thing.
You can have some drops.
Whoa, wait. It's probably a mental thing, isn't it? These are bad gloves. Get these gloves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
that first quarter, that little pitch out that he dropped, it's like, he doesn't drop that thing.
Right.
And the look on Julian Sain's face, like, what the hell just happened here? That should have been a first down. Change your gloves. So you had a game where you weren't even at your best offensively. Like, they are not near going on full cylinders. Julian Sain has a lot better football to play for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
To go out there and to get that win, that's a huge, huge win for an Ohio State fan. But you're right. 25 years, it's been basically 25 years of excellence. The way that I know there's been other programs that have won more national championships. Alabama had it.
Yeah.
But if you look at their history right before, and this is not Nick Saban's standard here. This is not the Alabama that Nick Saban had. And I think if there's anybody who's kind of smiling back on this, I don't think Nick Saban's happy that Alabama lost, but there has got to be something that's satisfied, and they're going, yep, that's me. That's the Nick Saban difference. That's what I did that other guys can't do at a place like Alabama, which is held up to a higher standard than 95% of programs.
I know we got to go. Does it sound like I'm throwing shade? Because when I really process it, does it sound like I'm throwing shade at the individual coaches that have won the national championships? Because obviously we know Tressel Urmeyer, great coaches, and Ryan Day is now on the path of proving that he's a great coach.
I think the last three coaches, you look over the last 20 years, how's that throwing shade at them?
Well, I just mean, am I also saying, though, that it really doesn't matter? Like, the next guy that takes over for Ryan Day, if Ryan Day were to leave tomorrow, go to the NFL, I think Ohio State's in pretty good hands.
I don't think it's throwing shade that the guys get the very best of the players that they have. I mean, you still got to be able to do it. I mean, there's plenty of guys like... I'm sorry, I think if Dabo were with another program and Dabo didn't have the ideas that he had, I think he'd be a more successful coach, and that's a guy who has won two national championships. But I think he'd be more successful recently because he still has this thought that college football in 2025 should be played like it was in 1998, and it's just not going to work that way. 216-474-0092. Like, yeah, you can get a guy. You could get a guy who isn't as committed to that as what other guys are. And you can win 10 games a year instead of 12. You could do that. Is Arch Manning catching too much hell?
Probably.
Yeah?
Probably, yeah.
Now, are you being measured in that, or you think you're going to catch a lot of hell from the other fan base that you went after today?
Probably catch a lot of hell. I mean, the thing about the Manning experience, and he was dreadful, and he has been ridiculed more than I can remember, honestly. Somebody as inexperienced as he is, even though he's been on campus, right, for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But this was his third start. And let's be honest, like the two teams he had played last year compared to opening up your season against the defending champs and at their place. Like, good luck, right? Good luck. And I was going to say they were underdogs, but then that changed right before kickoff because somebody bet 500 grand on Texas and it changed the odds. You believe that? Wonder how they felt watching that game.
500,000?
Watching Arch throw.
Was that Matthew McConaughey?
Sidearm throws and... Ooh, it was bad. It was really, really bad. Now, he did have a nice fourth quarter. Now, how much of that is because Ohio State had a two-score lead and they changed your defense a little bit? But he was totally confused. I mean, he had never seen anything like that. That caliber of defense he had never seen as a starter. And then Patricia pulling out all the stops like it was the Super Bowl.
My favorite meme was them showing Matt Patricia. And he said, "This is easy. I had to coach against real Mannings." Just like, boy, that's mean-spirited, man. But also funny.
Oh, there were so many good ones.
It's probably the best thing for Arch Manning.
Don't you think? I thought the same thing.
Let me tell you why. You know, when Trevor Lawrence was first coming out, it's like, man, this kid's won everything. He won in high school, every game. He won in college up until the end. Like, everything. He did nothing but win. I was like, where's the adversity? And I know we've made jokes about battling adversity before and needing it. You do need some adversity there because then you find out, you know, what type of leader you really have. And I don't think that Trevor Lawrence is a guy who is immediately going to start blaming teammates or is selfish or anything like that. But you don't know what you have in natural leadership positions until you really have seen some adversity. So there are great quarterbacks who need to lose and need to lose at a lower level. And Texas football is a big deal, but Texas football is not the pros. And so what he does to bounce back after this, you know, that's going to be the thing. Do you go out there and do you become the type of quarterback that a lot of people think you're supposed to become? Or do you become, in your own way, the other Manning? Because you're the son of the other Manning, and the only reason the other Manning is just known as the other Manning is because of injury, from what we all know. So I think this could be the best thing for him, because it's like, you need to have to answer to some adversity if you're going to go out there and be the type of guy that everybody thinks that you can be.
Well, what did you
or
make?
Or wants you to be, or trying to talk themselves into thinking you are going to be.
Yeah, so much. Like, Arch has been talked about for like 5 years, has he not? Don't you remember when even he was in high school, him getting talked about? But because of the way that they really managed his recruitment, he got off social media. They were doing it their way, right? They were doing it their way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can already hear the Shador fans go, well, that's what our guy didn't. If the NFL, like, okay, that's fine. But they did it a very specific
way. Always
comes
back to him with you.
So, funny thing is, I don't remember people saying the stuff while he was in high school that they're saying now, which is, did you see who he played against in high school? He wasn't even playing against the top competition in high school. Like, I did see a lot of people pointing that out. And I'm like, all right, now with that said, does that mean he's not a five-star recruit all of a sudden? You know, let's see if this would have to be one of the biggest myths. If he's like just not good, then was this all some grand conspiracy too?
Well, if he's just not that good, then I think it shows you how powerful the Manning family really is in the sport of football. If he ends up being not that good, like, say what you want to, and I know it's hard not to make a comparison. But some people thought, well, the only reason Shador gets to play is because of his father. Okay, well, no one was saying he was the number one overall pick, except for the biggest fans that he had. No one's saying he was the number one overall pick. I mean, people are thinking the moment he were to come out of the draft or for the draft, that Arch Manning, whatever year he decides to come out, he's the number one pick with a bullet, with a bullet that he's the number one guy. That is not number one quarterback production, but that's also the first game in your first start of the season. And this is not, as the one caller had said to us earlier, that ain't UTEP, man. That is Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And the last time he had a chance to do that was against Georgia, and Georgia wasn't very good, but he was not the type of guy that was going to be needed to go out there and to do it. They had another guy there, and it shows you just how hard this is. Like, you're playing with the big boys now. Ohio State's as close to the NFL as you're going to see. And I'm sure, I don't know the rest of Texas's schedule. I'm assuming it's going to be better. I just think it's probably the better thing for him, because if he were to pick this up and it would just be easy for him, there's still one place where it's left. And you know, there's wildly talented quarterbacks who still had to battle some adversity when they were in college. You know, Patrick Mahomes, that was not a national championship caliber team. Baker Mayfield, that was a national championship caliber football team that still had late game woes, late problems. It can't all just be perfect. So for a guy like that, where everybody thinks, man, it's just blessed about where you came from and what coaching advantages you had and the people your uncle know and all the things that you could say, it probably will still be the best thing for him, unless he goes out there and he's just terrible. And then we won't talk about him anymore, and we'll talk more about all the other guys. I'm not just talking about the Browns. I'm talking about everybody.
Yeah, they got San Jose next. They got UTEP. They got Sam Houston. So he's got three games where he's supposed to get.
When's their next test?
Their next test is right now at Florida, down in the swamp, October 4th.
Okay.
And then the following week, they host Oklahoma. So
those will be two decent tests.
Yeah. And then nothing again until they go to Georgia in November.
That'll be a test. That'll definitely be a test. Okay. Because as of right now, no. But it's still early in that process. I like Lenore Sellers on Sunday. I like Carson Beck fair enough, even though I'm not a big Carson Beck guy, but I just got to give credit where credit's due. And those are those guys. As far as the other ones are concerned there, the guys who currently play for the Cleveland Browns, no, they have to have their chance. And they won't get their chance. As of right now, it doesn't seem like they're going to get their chance coming up until November, I would think it is, unless they go out there and they get boat raced on Sunday, and then everything's on deck for Monday morning. It could be a very fun show, or it could be a very, very, very ugly show coming up on Monday morning, depending on what this football team does with a 40-year-old quarterback. Because if they go out there and they get boat raced by a team that, hey, Cincinnati's good, and they got a really good quarterback, but their defense is atrocious. And if you go out there and you get boat raced, you're turning the ball over. You know, I can do that with a kid. I can do that with Dylan Gabriel. Or I can do that with Shedeur Sanders. I can do it with one of them guys. I don't need to go do it with a 40-year-old. If you can't figure it out, then we're looking ahead. So Sunday becomes a much bigger deal as we get closer to it. Got the podcast coming up 10:15 a.m. Eastern, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. It's absolutely free. Gary Myers, Brady versus Belichick. The debate rages on. He wrote the book about it. Literally, he joins us coming up at 10:15 Eastern. What a time to talk about Brady versus Belichick after what happened last night with UNC. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10 for Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima. I'm Ken Carman. Have a wonderful day, my friends.